Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Friday, July 30th, is the feast of St. Peter Chrysologus, Bishop of Ravenna and Doctor of the Church. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis calls for an end to the scourge of human trafficking. The United Nations warns about increasing food insecurity around the world. And the global Catholic climate movement will now be known as the Laudato Si movement, changing its name after an 18-month discernment process. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis on Friday joined religious organizations and world leaders in calling for an end to the scourge of human trafficking on this, the World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. Lydia O'Kane has this report.
Over the course of his pontificate, Pope Francis has repeatedly decried the scourge of human trafficking as a crime against humanity. On the World Day Against Trafficking in Human Persons, which is observed on the 30th of July, the Pope in a tweet said, "I invite everyone to work together with the victims to transform the economy of trafficking into an economy of care." Between 20 and 40 million people are estimated to be trapped in modern slavery today, an illegal business which earns billions of dollars for traffickers. Talitha Coombe, the global anti-trafficking network of Consecrated Life Against Trafficking in Persons, recently launched a campaign entitled Care Against Trafficking. The new initiative aims to show the world how care can make the difference along every step of the journey to combat human trafficking. Care for those at risk, care for victims, and care for survivors. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Sister Gabriella Bortani, International Coordinator of Talitha Coombe, spoke of the importance of testimony in the battle against trafficking, saying, "In a virtual context to which we are accustomed, think of the use of social media. This reminds us of the importance of reality, a difficult, violent, and painful reality, but one that is also full of hope. I believe that young people should hear these testimonies, experience hope as an engine for dreams." The theme for this year's UN World Day Against Trafficking in Persons is Victims' Voices Lead the Way. The United Nations says that the campaign portrays survivors as key actors in the fight against human trafficking and focuses on the crucial role they play in establishing effective measures to prevent this crime, identify and rescue victims, and support them on their road to rehabilitation. Learning from victims' experiences and turning their suggestions into concrete actions will lead to a more victim-centred and effective approach in combating human trafficking, the UN says. In his message marking this World Day, the UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres called on states to take action against this scourge, highlighting that many of those who are trafficked are children. The UN chief also stressed that due to the fact that around 124 million people have been left in poverty due to the pandemic, this has meant many millions have now been left vulnerable to human trafficking. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Two United Nations agencies are warning of acute food insecurity in 23 hunger hotspots around the world. In a new report, the Food and Agriculture Organization and the World Food Program are warning that fighting red tape and lack of funding are blocking famine relief efforts, leading to worsening acute food insecurity throughout the globe. Robin Gomes tells us more.
Efforts to fight a global surge in acute food insecurity are being set back in several countries by conflicts and blockades that cut off life-saving aid to families on the brink of famine, say the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, and the World Food Programme, WFP, in a report released on Friday. Bureaucratic obstacles as well as lack of funding also hamper the two UN agencies' efforts to provide emergency food assistance and enable farmers to plant at scale and at the right time. Entitled Hunger Hotspots, the report by the Rome-based agencies warns of acute food insecurity for the outlook of August to November 2021 period. They are greatly concerned that food insecurity continues to grow in scale and severity because of conflicts, the economic repercussions of COVID-19, and the climate crisis. These factors are expected to drive higher levels of acute food insecurity in 23 hunger spots over the next 4 months, with conflict the biggest driver. FAO and WFP have already warned that 41 million people were at risk of falling into famine unless they received immediate food and livelihood assistance. According to the Global Report on Food Crisis released in May 2020, 155 million people faced acute food insecurity at crisis or worse level in 55 countries, a trend that is expected to worsen this year. Families that rely on humanitarian assistance to survive are hanging by a thread. When we cannot reach them, that thread is cut, and the consequences are nothing short of catastrophic, warned David Beasley, WFP Executive Director. The report singled out Ethiopia and Madagascar as the world's newest highest alert hunger hotspots for the outlook of August to November 2021. South Sudan, Yemen, and northern Nigeria were already among the acute food insecurity hotspots of great global concern. I am Robin Gomes.
Elsewhere in world news, hundreds of firefighters continue to battle wildfires in villages and resorts on Turkey's Mediterranean and Aegean coasts. Nathan Morley has the latest.
In recent months, the eastern Mediterranean region has been plagued by blistering heat. Reports suggest 4 people have died and dozens have been hospitalized. An investigation has been launched to determine if some of the fires were a result of arson. Turkey's agriculture minister said that bringing the fires under control might take considerable time. Meanwhile, over in Lebanon, firefighters there are continuing to tackle wildfires in the north, which have spread across the border into Syria. The fires have killed at least one person, identified as a teenage boy who was helping efforts to extinguish a blaze. News networks in Lebanon said the fire spread over a distance of 7 kilometers and was 2 kilometers wide, claiming tens of thousands of pine trees and shrubland. Lebanon's civil defense said it deployed 25 fire trucks supported by 4 Air Force helicopters and military units to put out the blaze. But the fires continue to rage, spreading east, and they've already affected large swathes of forest in the mountainous north. Lebanon suffered devastating wildfires in October 2019 that lasted for more than 2 days and spread from the mountains in Houf, just outside the capital of Beirut. A lack of equipment and preparedness, combined with high temperatures and gusty winds, caused the fire to rage and destroy much of the forest. In July, massive fires swept through Cyprus, killing 4 people on the island and leaving millions of euros in damage. Separately, Lebanon will mark on the 4th of August the first anniversary of the deadly Beirut blast, as the country declared it as a national day. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In a major law and order reform initiative, Mexico's president has announced he'll free thousands of aging prisoners who have spent a decade or more behind bars for nonviolent crimes. James Blears has that story.
The justice announcement comes from Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, better known as AMLO. It applies to more than 12,000 inmates in federal prisons, but not to those in the state penal system. It'll also apply to those who can prove they were tortured in custody after being arrested. The president will sign the decree next week, and the mass release date is September the 15th. Mexico's overall prison population exceeds 90,000 inmates cooped up in jails which are often chronically overcrowded, not being designed or built for the numbers they hold. Fights between inmates are commonplace, and high-security prisons are often disrupted and then dominated by factions of drug cartels, with infighting leading to deadly prison riots. This latest initiative will apply to those inmates over 75 years old who've not committed serious crimes, and to those over 65 with chronic illnesses like high high blood pressure and heart conditions who've not been involved in serious crime. President López Obrador laments that many prisoners have been languishing in jail for 10 years or more without receiving the justice of a verdict in their cases. He's questioning the justice system, saying it should be swift and expedient, but in many cases has fallen far short of legal expectations. Many crimes in Mexico go unreported because Mexicans have little confidence in their police, and in other instances because they're committed by drug cartels who gun down or permanently disappear those who dare to inform upon them. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
In sad news, a few days after celebrating his 98th birthday, Cardinal Albert Van Hoy, S.J., passed away yesterday, Thursday, July 29th, in Rome. In a telegram to Father Manuel Morujao, the superior of the St. Peter Canisius residence where the Cardinal resided, Pope Francis expressed his condolences for the pious death of this brother who served the Lord and the Church with great dedication. The Pope writes, "I think with gratitude of his intense work as a zealous religious and spiritual son of St. Ignatius, an expert teacher and an authoritative biblical scholar, an esteemed rector of the Pontifical Biblical Institute, a diligent and wise collaborator with several dicasteries of the Roman Curia. We pray for the repose of the soul of Cardinal Albert Van Hoy." Finally today, after an 18-month discernment process, the Global Catholic Climate Movement has a new mission statement, a new identity statement, and a new name. As of Thursday, the group of individuals and organizations committed to inspiring and mobilizing the Catholic community to care for our common home and achieving climate and ecological justice will be known as the Laudato Si Movement. Tomas Insua, the co-founder and executive director of the newly renamed Laudato Si Movement, spoke with Vatican News about the name change.
We just concluded a long discernment process together with all our members to revisit the name of our movement and the mission of our movement. So basically what emerged was that the name Global Catholic Climate Movement, which served us well in the very beginnings, didn't reflect the broad work in support of the Laudato Si encyclical that we were doing. So after a long discernment process that included a consultation of our members at a global level and of key partners, including the Dicastery of Integral Human Development and the Franciscans and many others, we ended up discerning that the name should be Laudato Si Movement. So that's the new name we have adopted. The name intends to reflect better the work, the more holistic work to care for our common home that we have been doing in recent years, the broader work of integral ecology and ecological conversion that we are doing in the spirit of Laudato Si. And also it's important to remember that the movement was founded in 2015, inspired by the encyclical, but it was founded before the encyclical was published. So the movement was founded in January 2015, and the encyclical came a few months later. We just read in the press coverage about the upcoming encyclical. So right from the very beginning, the encyclical was the motivation to found the movement, and since then has been the cornerstone, the foundation of all the work we do.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks to our technicians and producers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.